coming in. But if I were you, if you can do it, I'd go downstairs to use the restroom because it is schmancy down there. And so it has that brand new car smell to it. And so anyway, check out the downstairs if you have time. We want to invite you to uplift to and put on your calendar the 21st of April because we're going to have, I don't want to say an open house, but a rededication of the church space. There will be a congregational meal. You need to RSVP for that. And there's going to be a sign up at the table as you leave here tonight. We just need to know how many beans to put in the pot. And I hear they're serving pork loin. And so it's not just going to be your regular old spaghetti, okay? And so sign up. We look forward towards that fellowship. Hey, the special offering for the month of April is designated for the North American Lutheran Seminary. And so that's the place where pastors get trained to be pastors. And we just have one of those in the NALC. And we happen to be in, well, the pastoral search, the pastoral call process. And so we have interest in that. If the Holy Spirit moves you in that way, indicating you're giving somehow, some way, just put NALC or just put an N on your gift and we'll know exactly where that goes. We're going to get into our worship. We're in the second Sunday of Easter. We've got a new sermon series going on. It's titled, actually, The Story Continues. And the story continues of the grand plan. And tonight the grand plan is going to focus upon 40 days Jesus displays as we talk about just one of his many post-resurrection appearances. And so may God bless us. God bless us as he appears to us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I invite you to stand. Your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that she had said these he had said these things to her. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Yes, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Please be seated. Well, again, it is our post-Easter sermon series. The story continues. It's a tag on to the grand plan. We're continuing that little rhyme thing that we started in Lent through Easter, and now we'll go with it post-Easter as well. So the next 8 weeks, or actually next 7 weeks now, Easter was part of this series, we'll be hearing various stories from post-resurrection all the way through Revelation. Not going to preach on the whole New Testament, but we're going to be highlights of what that looks like. So our message today, 40 days, Jesus displays. And what we're going to do with this text today is we're going to connect it to the eclipse, all right? I think that makes sense, so connect it to the eclipse, but also our faith lives. So here we go. We need to back up just a little bit and understand this 40 days thing. It's just not made up. Verse 3, chapter 1 of Acts says this. After his suffering, Jesus presented himself alive to the disciples by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So it was during this month and 10 days, you might say, after the sunrise surprise of Easter, up until Jesus ascended into heaven, that the Bible tells us stories about Jesus appearing to various people. 9 times, 11 times some count, but sometimes it's one person, sometimes it's two, sometimes it's 5, 10, 12. In one particular story, there were 500 that he appeared to. One of the accounts we heard today was the one of Mary Magdalene. She sees the risen Lord eventually there at the tomb. It's on that very first day. It's on Easter morning, Easter day. And she doesn't initially recognize him, but she mistakes him for being the cemetery caretaker. Well, we're going to, again, look at this particular story. We're going to connect it to the eclipse, and we're going to pull out some biblical faith points for our lives. There's some notes in your bulletin. You can follow along with those or for future reference, or you can take some notes. Our first piece to this is a challenge, and it talks about tears of sadness. I know we probably all have had at one time in our lives some tears of sadness. The Bible story tells us that Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. Well, we got to be real clear about this, right? There's absolutely nothing wrong with crying, nothing wrong with weeping. As a matter of fact, tears are gifts that God has given us as expressions, outer expressions of an inward struggle. And tears often bring emotional release. You know, we hear in John chapter 11, verse 53, it's the shortest verse in the Bible, that two words, Jesus wept. And so if Jesus wept, so can we weep. He wept at the tomb of his good friend Lazarus before he raised him from the dead. The problem comes in our weeping and our tears when we get stuck in our sad feelings. And our season of darkness lingers, and it seems like maybe it's never going to go away. And so let's connect that to the eclipse, right? A total eclipse in our area is going to last how long? Anybody know? How long is it?
4.5 minutes.
4 minutes and 25 seconds is what I heard. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm going to be timing it on Monday. But how does it begin? It begins with the sun in its full glow, but then slowly but surely, the sun gets covered by the moon, 4 minutes, 25 seconds, and then gradually, it uncovers the sun, and the sun shines brightly again. We indeed are going to have shadowy times that enter into our lives. Some of them are going to bring a shadow of darkness. Some are going to bring great darkness. And our tears can maybe feel like there's going to be no relief in sight anytime soon. Problem comes many times when we go down a dark hole and we experience a sense of hopelessness. I've experienced times with people who have become so depressed over a divorce or a death of a loved one or financial ruin. You can fill in the blank, but there's many things that can cause tears and depression, maybe even thoughts of suicide. Only to find out that as they've processed, as they've walked through this darkness and realized that they weren't walking alone, that maybe it's 3 months later, maybe it's 2 years later, maybe it's 5 years later, that the darkness gradually gave way to a little less darkness, whereby they could eventually see not maybe the full brilliance of the sun as they had before, but the intensity of that pain and of that moment is not a permanent type of thing. Jesus hung on the cross, did he not? The Bible says that it was about noon and darkness came over the whole land until 3. It says that the sun's light failed. Some people speculate that this was an extended type of eclipse. Certainly God's hand was in it. But in that very hour, our Savior himself was bearing the weight of all humanity, all the sins of the world, past, present, and future. And it was a hard time of anguish. I can't imagine those 3 hours had to seem like 3 years. Yet we also know that through Good Friday, through Holy Saturday, that come Easter morning, come Sunday morning, the dawn's early light broke into his darkness and freed him. Somehow, some way, Psalm 30 says this to each and every one of us. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And we're not going to try to candy coat this, put sugar on anything, but it is with our faith. It is with our faith in God, our hope in Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, as well as how God works through therapists, how God works through prescription drugs and community and church and his word, that our tears for us that may last for a season, but just as winter turns to spring and spring to summer and summer to fall, resurrection light can eventually bring new life to our darkened hearts by faith. Our second connection here tonight, as we talk about this Bible story and connect it to the eclipse, is a downcast focus. Bible story says this: as Mary wept, what was she doing? She bent over to look into the tomb. You know, this particular faith point is certainly connected to the first one. The first one about tears, as a matter of fact, mentions weeping in this particular part of the verse again. But it's also quite different. Being bent over, looking into the tomb, in my estimation, in my looking at this, is about our body language. But when we get faced with a problem or a fear or an illness, a worry, something broken in our lives, maybe even a tragedy. Where's my focus? Where's my attention? I have to confess, 3 years ago, when I had my bout with prostate cancer, my head was bent over like this. The focus was on me and my pain and my cancer. As a matter of fact, it was an over-focus. But mentally, my chin was on my chest, all right? That's the body language right there. It was fixated on the problem. I was consumed with it for a while. I had a hard time initially seeing anything beyond my disease. There came a new day in a new time. But you know, connected to the eclipse, connected to resurrection, Daniel touched on it. We can't see the eclipse by looking down. We can't see it by facing the ground or looking downward. We have to raise our heads up, wear that proper eyewear, right? But we have to look up. I love what Psalm 121 says. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. See, when it comes to working through our issues and our struggles, our challenges, I appreciate this acronym or this axiom, you might say it. I tripped over it a couple of years ago, and it goes like this. Go there, but don't stay there. With God's help, go there, but don't stay there. You see, we need to acknowledge the issue. We need to grieve the loss, the situation, but we can't be welded to it. That's what Satan would have us do, to be welded to it where it dominates us. Eventually, fix your eyes on Jesus. Our third lesson in connecting this particular Bible story with the eclipse is the question, where's God? I think many times when we experience a difficulty, whatever it may be, a common faith question is, why has God left me? Why has he abandoned me? Where is God? Our Bible story says this. Mary said this, they have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around. She saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Connected to the eclipse. During a total eclipse, of course, the sun is totally blocked out. We saw that in that picture before. It's not visible. You might be able to see a little bit of a ring up there. But that's also for a time period. And truth be told, the sun is shielded by the moon. It's blocked out by the moon. And though we can't actually see the sun, we all know the sun's still there. Some time ago, Tammy and I traveled to Chicago. It was a long time ago. And on our return trip to Texas, we were on the runway of O'Hare Airport. It was raining cats and dogs. As the flight took off, the jet tore through a heavy rain, blackened thunderheads, tumbling, turmoil. You had to keep on your seatbelt sign. I stayed on for quite some time. But eventually, as we continued to ascend, we popped through some white, fluffy clouds, where we again saw above the rain that the sun was still shining above the storm. The sun is always there. Just can't always see it. That's just like God. God is always present. His promises are there in Scripture, in the sending, in our litany. Every single time we say, and remember he is with you always, even till the end of time. During your personal trial, it may seem like God is absent, but his presence is unwavering. Hebrews 13 promises he will never leave us or forsake us. That gets us to our fourth connection with the eclipse in this particular passage. There's times when all seems to be lost. Maybe defeat seems imminent. Maybe it's with the marriage, with the kids, with this pregnancy, with a friendship, with a business or the business deal. And yet somehow, some way, God surprisingly shows up. Story says this. Supposing Jesus to be the gardener, Mary said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. The totality of the eclipse is going to sweep through the United States, right? It's going to go from Texas all the way through Maine. It's going to cut across that way. And yet some areas, ours might be one, are not going to see it in its full glory, right? Yeah. There may be the cloud cover. I understand I looked about 2 hours ago that we are at 30% chance of rain. That's what the weather guessers are saying at this particular time. I didn't mean anything by that. No. Only God knows. Yeah. Well, anyway, we don't know how that experience is going to be here. But there are some people who are what you might call eclipse fanatics. And there's actually a name for these people. They're called umbrophiles. Umbrophiles. And umbra is shadow, and philes is Greek. That's philos, lovers, shadow lovers, or eclipse chasers. Pastor Steve knows of a couple, I think they're from Iowa, who have made 4 or 5 hotel reservations strategically along this line from St. Louis to the Rio Grande Valley in Texas. And I'm certain if they've done this, that other people have really gone to extra extremes all over the United States, because people are coming from all over the world, not just the United States, to see this thing, not just to Fredericksburg, but along this path. And I believe, too, they have made lodging arrangements from Del Rio to Dallas, from Little Rock to Cleveland, from Niagara Falls to Woodstock. All also that they can possibly up their percentages, their chances of catching that eclipse. Full on. Trusting that somewhere along the way, it's going to be cloudless. You know, I was thinking if we could be so fanatic about our faith. Our faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? And one of the passages that point me to that is from Jeremiah 29. It says this, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Jesus backs it up. He says this, "Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open." That's always not me asking for the go-kart or that new shotgun or this, that, or the other, but it's according to God's will as we ask and seek and knock. In our Bible story, the Son of God bursts through the clouds, which are covering Mary's tear-soaked eyes, downcast body language, and he says, "Mary." And she immediately recognizes his voice. She sees him as the resurrected Lord and Savior. You see, somehow, some way, God always shows up. It might not be on the path that we think it should be on. It might not be in Fredericksburg and not be in Dallas. It might be all the way up in Woodstock, right? That's for the eclipse chasers. But for us, God somehow, some way, always shows up, not according to our will, not as we would imagine, not as we would think, but he does. He's always there. He always shows up. There's an old saying that goes like this. If it feels like God has moved, or no, if it feels like God is not there, it's not God who has moved. We know who that is. God's always there. He always shows up. And our fifth connection with the eclipse and with this story is, what shall be our faith response? When we experience a hard situation, when something difficult is going on in our lives, and we know that Jesus has shown up, he's given us a nudge, a whisper, maybe a two before between the eyes, whereby we regain hope, or we gain clarity or solution, forgiveness, or maybe even eternal life. But what should our faith response be? What should it look like? Well, in our post-resurrection appearance story, Jesus says to Mary Magdalene, "Go. Go. Don't hang around here with me. Don't even touch me. I got to go to the Father before you do something like that. But go and tell my brothers. Say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So Mary went. Story says it. Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Sheer joy, sincere excitement, can't be bottled up. Our total solar eclipse, like the one we possibly hope to see here, it's a rare bird. We all know that, right? It's a very rare thing. That's why so many people are chasing it. It actually happened here in the United States in 2017. But before that, in the USA, it was 1979. So that was a long time ago, between 1979, 2017, of course here, 2024. But the next one's not going to happen until 2044. You know, I know some may be thinking that if we do have clouds, good riddance, right? All the tourists, all the traffic. Well, we don't see it yet, do we? But maybe those are the people who have made those hotel reservations elsewhere. They know something we don't know. Bumper to bumper traffic. Well, not yet. Lines at HEB. Yeah, we've seen that. Boy, I should have bought stock in trespassing signs. Yes. All the thoughts, all the conversation about the fanfare, the crazies, 100 strong being here, partying like it's 1999. And, you know, we may all say that's craziness, that's a mess, but also it's really a big deal because it doesn't happen every day. There's something last Sunday that doesn't happen every day, and it happened with one of my grandkids. We got four now, you know that? Got four on the floor and one, God willing, on the way. And so they were all here. We had a whole house packed full of them this last weekend. This picture right here, that's Emma on the left. That's Ellie on the right. Of course, Graham was here. The newborn Hannah was here as well. But Ellie's the one I'm going to lift up right there. Ellie's the one on the right. And Ellie wears her feelings on her sleeve, all right? I mean, if something is going well, she's dancing, she's singing, she is all in. But if something goes just a little bit south according to her way and her will, she goes off the rails. I don't know if you were here for the 10:30 service last week or not, but she sat on my lap up here during the children's message. And after the children's message, I was going to get ready to preach. Of course, we're going to sing a song, and then we're going to read the Bible reading, and then I was going to do the message. And so after Daniel's children's message, I got up and I was taking her over to her mom, who she typically is like a magnet to. But in this moment, she went bonkers for a solid 30 seconds. She didn't want to let go of me. It felt like 10 minutes. No, it felt like almost an hour. She screamed and she cried, "I want Dado! I want Dado! I want Dado!" Now, some may think that's a little bizarre and a little bit crazy. Big disruption. Whatever. To me, it was a big deal. Part of my Easter resurrection. Because she didn't always want me. And we aren't around them all that often. So it doesn't happen every day. I loved it. It was spectacular. So much so that I'm telling you about it, right? Hey, more than our grandkids. More than me chasing turkeys during the spring season. More than whatever your favorite thing may be. Whatever that spectacular thing. More than 100,000 people packing into Gillespie County. Whatever that may be. We have a God. We have a God who is willing to die for the sake of our sins and then not stay dead, but to rise victoriously from the dead so that we can have abundant life now and eternal life to come. That's a big deal. That didn't happen just every day. It happens every day as we greet him and meet him and enter into his word and relationship with him. I'm thinking about Monday. And maybe Monday I should just take in the eclipse. Look at it like a tourist. Look like a umbrophile. Look at it through the resurrection, though, through the lens of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then apply it. Apply it to the places in our life, maybe taking some of these faith points where Mary and where we need a resurrection. And get this, God will bring it because he is the God of wonders. And we're going to hear a song right now, God of Wonders. It's by Mike Tomlin, and I want you to listen to those words, and we're going to pray those words after.